Greetings, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to another Life Note, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. It is April, and we are in Character Month. Today's Life Note is Radical Honesty, How to Transform Your Life by Telling the Truth, by Brad Blanton, PhD. As always, let's begin with a quote. Taking responsibility means a person no longer blames outside circumstances or other people or past events for the conditions in his own life. End quote. In this entertaining, thought-provoking, and sometimes even slightly offensive book, psychotherapist and stress management expert Dr. Brad Blanton sets out to change the way we think about the way we live. Blanton asserts that the stress that we all experience on a daily basis comes not from our environments, but from what he calls self-built jails of our minds. The only way out? To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So let's jump in to our big thoughts for today. The Jail of the Mind, How and Why We Built It. Quote, the central message of this book is that we human beings, in the course of growing up, get lost in our minds. And if we don't find our way out, our minds eventually kill us. End quote. As we grow up, we learn to abstract, generalize, and evaluate. We learn how to predict and, to some extent, control future events by drawing upon episodes from the past that we remember as painful and avoiding such events. Conversely, we remember pleasant episodes and try to recreate them. Quote, life becomes a story, and the job is to remember the episodes, figure out the moral to the story, and use the instruction to live wisely and not get hurt or look like a fool. End quote. Eventually, we get to the point where we can't stop living in the story until we are either exhausted or out of resources. This is moralism. Likewise, as we grow up, we begin to think of our personalities as being made up of all the lessons that we've learned from the episodes we've strung together in our story. These hard-earned lessons weigh heavily in our consideration of how we define ourselves, but holding on to these hard-earned lessons after they've outlived their usefulness really complicates our lives. Say a man learned to get what he wanted from his mother when he was a boy by begging her in a whiny voice. Since it always worked with mom, this man may still be using the same tactic with his third wife, even though he hasn't gotten the same result for years. Quote, the mind doesn't like to change itself in the face of new information, end quote. And these lessons that we hold on to make up the personality to which we become shackled. The way out of these shackles is to expand our concept of who we consider ourselves to be. Quote, unless more human beings expand who they consider themselves to be by re-including what they excluded when they grew a personality, the game is over, end quote. And the way to do this is through telling the truth. Quote, telling the truth frees us from entrapment of the mind, end quote. Let's take a look at Blanton's three levels of truth-telling and how they help us on this path towards self-expansion. Face the facts. Step one of telling the truth. Quote, it is a matter of clearing up lies from the past and the false presentation of self-being maintained through withholding. End quote. The first level of telling the truth is to simply reveal the facts. Though simply may not always be so easy, we all tell lies, big or small. We do it casually and habitually, and for the most part, we rarely think twice about it. As we grow up, we learn to lie innocently, how to tell lies to impress our peers. We have to develop and organize these lies, the person we pretend to be, until we can give up that identity and be who we really are. Put another way, this means we go through adolescence and develop an identity to answer the question, who am I? Quote, who we still are, the being from back in the womb, and who we have come to know ourselves as, the identity we have developed, have to be integrated, end quote. Once this is achieved, we are able to relate to other people from a place of consciousness of our whole being and are able to, quote, have a personality, not be had by our personality, end quote. The first part of this process involves revealing any and all deceptions we have been withholding from others. We've all fashioned an image of ourselves to present to others to make them think a certain way about us. Now we have to untell those lies. We have to tell the secrets we've been keeping from our friends, partners, and families. Blanton says there are no exceptions. If you stole your mom's car when you were 16 so that you could make out with your boyfriend in a deserted parking lot, call your mom and tell her so. Face the consequences, even if you're 40 now. No deception is too small or too far in the past. The stealing mom's car scenario isn't all that scary, but what if we had to reveal that we had an affair or something much more serious? Blanton's response is, too bad. We have to suck it up and dive in. Usually the catastrophe that we cooked up in our head doesn't come to pass, and instead we feel an overwhelming sense of relief. Quote, the first level of truth-telling leads to the first level of liberation. You tell the facts from the past that have been withheld. You no longer have to be paranoid about being found out, and you get back the energy that was being used up for years to hide the facts, end quote. But wait, we aren't done. Telling the truth doesn't end here. Admittance in the moment, level 2 of truth-telling. Quote, begin to speak forth the emotional truth and the truth of one's judgment to reveal one's constantly active secret mind, end quote. The second level of telling the truth requires us to admit how we feel when we feel it. When we tell the truth, we create clearings between ourselves and others where there's an opportunity for us to share and create together. Quote, recontrol by the mind's secret, self-protective, judging, hidden self is the attempt to go back to the safer feeling, hard-earned, adolescent way of being that worked before and should work again, but leaves you always trying to eat the menu rather than the meal, end quote. Not only is revealing the emotional and judgmental truth on a moment-by-moment basis damned hard, but it also never ends. The most important thing to know about the truth is that it changes. What is true in one moment may not be so in the next. When we are up front and voice our feelings with someone, we allow ourselves to release those feelings. Thus, we often no longer feel them. What was true 15 seconds ago is no longer. And in this process, we are able to get into and over rotten feelings. This brings us to the third and final level of truth-telling. Drop the act, level 3 of truth-telling. Quote, if you speak the truth long enough, your words become universal law, end quote. The third level of truth-telling is the place where telling the truth and living the truth becomes the same. It occurs when we admit that who we are is not who we have been pretending to be. We admit that the identity that we've been selling to others, and even to ourselves, is not really who we are. We admit that we don't actually know everything. We confess our disillusionment with the things that we've been pretending to stand for. At first, this is embarrassing. Then it's exciting and something to boast about. And then it's just something that happens to us in the course of growing up. Blanton says this process begins by bragging about all the things that we pretended not to care about in the name of modesty. We have to praise ourselves openly instead of manipulating others to give us the praise that we crave. We also have to openly admit what lies we have told to ourselves and to others. We have to go through all the feelings that came up when we tell these kind of truths. This part is embarrassing, but as Blanton says, quote, if you have never truly embarrassed yourself by what you had to say about yourself, you don't know S from Shinola about transformation, end quote. When we are able to tell all of these truths, we are at level 3. Quote, who you are becomes more of a description centered in the here and now and less of a story about your life, end quote. No one stays at level 3 constantly. We are always encountering things that may push us back to where we were before. But by surrounding ourselves with others who also value this type of radical honesty, we can reach level 3 more often. There's less to learn at this level, but it requires more practice. It's like the difference between being a good amateur athlete and being a professional. Going from good to great requires much harder work. If it didn't, everyone would be in the pros. Abnormal honesty, easier said than done. Quote, telling the truth means all of the worst things you might imagine it means. End quote. When we tell the truth, we are free, simply by virtue of describing what is so. Quote, the language of the being is descriptive language. The language of the mind is evaluative language. End quote. This descriptive language of being evokes a sense of affirmation and appreciation for living in the world as it is. As Blanton so candidly puts it, quote, the secret of the good life is not suffocating in the mind's BS, end quote. By this, he means that instead of stepping into our freedom by telling the truth, a realm that is often too terrifying for us to face, we retreat to a place that is safe and comforting. We hide behind memories and evaluations. But when we describe what is true, we banish that escape into comfort. We are in control of our minds. Quote, people who speak simply and clearly have chosen freedom over the escape into the illusion of security. End quote. But simply describing the true nature of events doesn't cut it. Quote, telling the truth is hard enough if all we mean by it is communicating what occurs without even trying to communicate about our feelings. End quote. Being descriptive about our feelings evokes feelings in others, and that is the heart of the creative power of honest speech. Using descriptive language to tell the truth about events, that's one thing, but doing the same with our feelings is even more difficult and requires even harder work. All of this radical honesty is no walk in the park. It means telling everything we have hidden that we've done in the past to other people who would be most hurt or angry or surprised. We must speak plainly, using the descriptive language we talked about earlier, to relay events and feelings as we experience them. It means we must disregard politeness so as not to modify our stories in order to protect the feelings of others. If we do that, we are not telling the whole truth. The other person must be able to grasp, to the best of their ability, exactly how we felt in the moment when we were carrying out the action we are describing, even if it is one that will hurt and or humiliate them. In the end, all of this truth-telling turns us into the most free, most alive kind of human beings. However, it can also make us more insecure than normal. This insecurity stems from having our beliefs questioned at every step. Being radically honest goes against what we've always been taught, and thus our minds do the best they can to protect us from the unpleasant uncertainty of freedom. But we can learn to make this unpleasant uncertainty pleasant, much like we can learn to enjoy scaring ourselves by watching a horror movie. Quote, that paradoxical state, comfortable uncertainty, is a prerequisite for a creative, fulfilling life. Growing and sharing, rather than stagnation, occur in a context of uncertainty. End quote. Radically honest relationships, telling the truth to our better halves. Quote, powerful relating that leads to mutual personal growth is still the key to loving life and to developing the personal capacity to love people in your life. Radical honesty is the key to that ongoing learning and renewal of love. End quote. So now we know how and why we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It all sounds pretty good in theory, but when we think about how it looks in practice, it's pretty daunting. Before we end this life note, we want to take a minute to look at what it means to be radically honest in one of the most fulfilling, but also one of the touchiest aspects of our lives, our love relationships. If we're being perfectly honest with each other, which we hope we are since that's what this book is all about, we've all lied to our partners. Whether by omission or by outright lying to their faces, at one point or another, We would also all probably agree that strong, healthy relationships are built upon honesty. Blanton agrees with us too, but his breed of honesty in the realm of relationships is a bit different from the run-of-the-mill truth-telling, as I'm sure you could have guessed by this point. Quite the contrary, he offers us a checklist for intimacy that might shock some. This list includes each partner taking a turn to tell their entire life story, an exercise that Blanton says should take about 3 hours each. The next thing on the list is related to the first. Each person should recount their entire sexual history for their partner. We're not just talking numbers here. We're talking names, numbers, positions, locations, all the gory details. This is one of the hardest things for many couples to do. Talking about sex is hard enough, but being this candid about our own experiences is even harder. Think back to that section on level one truth-telling. The first step in the process of shedding our manufactured identities and being able to embrace who we really are at the core is revealing any and all withholdings. This is part of that. Revealing these intimate details to our lovers allows them to glimpse who we really are underneath the front that we've been projecting. In addition to giving us this checklist for intimacy, Blanton offers up a few suggestions for how couples can build more powerful relationships. Some of these are as follows. Complete any incomplete relationships with our parental families. Finishing any unfinished business we may have with our families allows us to shut the door on the past and begin living in the present with our eyes turned towards the future. Create a common cause that both are interested in and committed to. Get on the same page and share a powerful, unified vision. This presents opportunities for working together and learning how to better communicate. And it's just plain fun to create things together. Stay involved with other people committed to telling the truth. Just as with anything else, the people we associate with affect how we think and behave. Having a support system of other couples who are also committed to living the radically honest lifestyle is crucial. Make requests from your mate for what you want, but stay willing to take care of yourself. This is all about communication. It's okay to let our partners know that it would make us happy if they did this or that. But we should also let them know and maintain the attitude that we are big boys and girls, and if they choose not to do it for us, we will do it for ourselves. Make it a choice, not an obligation. And finally, take any help you can get. We should approach our relationships as learning processes. These are always opportunities for us to grow and learn new things with and about our partners. Grow or die, as Blanton says. Ultimately, what we should come away with from this book is not so different than the age-old saying, "The truth shall set you free." Although I'm sure Blanton would agree with Gloria Steinem's addendum, "But first, it'll piss you off." I hope you enjoyed spending this time with me as we explored this life note. I know I enjoyed it. I'll be back next month and each and every month with more wisdom, more life notes, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. Thank you again for tuning in. This is Jordan River signing off saying, have an extraordinary day, Lifebookers. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Podcast.